walked in the Starbucks, and the young lady probably will be listening to this, but that's okay. There's this young girl that's 21 years old, and she goes to a neighboring church, and I've spoken to her many times, and her father's studying to be in the ministry. She's a local college girl, and she's sitting there, and it just warms my heart because she's 21 years old, and she sits there every Sunday morning with the physical Bible open. And she's studying it because she teaches a class of Sunday school at her local church, which is right down the street from where we live on the corner of Lutz and Strausser. It's a very nice Baptist church there. She attends there. I've been there a long time, grew up that church. And I'm just thrilled because there she sits with her Bible open and people looking at her and encouragement, and people looking at her like a little bit different look, right? And, you know, and this gentleman sits down. I was at the table and I was doing the same studies, but I was on my iPad, my computer, but she's got the physical word open, which is powerful. And there's a guy that sits between us, and she's sitting, and the guy starts seeing her Bible. And I know that she does this on purpose because she wants to do the witness. And he starts asking her questions. What is that, and why are you studying, and whatnot? And she starts to speak life to him and ask if he knows Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? And she goes on, and he responds, and they talk, and she witnesses right there in the Starbucks, 21 years old, speaking life. You know, you can say anything you want about the younger generation, but I tell you what, there are great younger generation people that are living for Jesus every single day and speaking life to people no matter where they're at, and they don't care what people think. They're going to speak life. And you know, people, that gives me encouragement, especially as a pastor. And she walks out, and she says, have a good day, pastor, and she just goes on her way. And I just am thrilled, you know. And if your children are not serving Jesus like she is serving and you're having some struggles, just remember, the word never returns void. Yes, someone should be excited about it. The word never returns void. Today we're going to talk about the river, and today I want to give you a little quick background of what we're doing. Last week we spoke of the river, and we will go to a number of points of that, which we'll start today. But last week we talked about the river, and what exactly is the river? You know, I didn't specifically give away the definition of it last week, thinking, okay, let's just see where this goes, and a couple of people said, pastor, what is that? Well, I'm going to tell you today exactly what that is. The Bible speaks of water and the river. You know, it's so, and I don't mean to use this word deep, but it's kind of deep. And I told you last week when I started putting this together and God laid it on my heart, I thought, wow, that's really, really deep stuff. We start talking about water, the river. You could do classes, and there's so much out there about this, and I just thought, I've got to be careful that we don't get in all kinds of tangents. But the river is God's supernatural supply that flows through you for natural and spiritual health. It's God's supernatural supply. That's what a river is. And we're going to talk about that in depth a little bit more today. And I hope I don't lose people because it could be something that you could get lost in. Today, specifically, we're going to week two is what's the source of your river? In other words, what's the source of your supernatural supply? What is that source? Next week, we'll talk about how significant is your river, or what is your impact? And the following week, we'll wrap it up with how saturated is your river, or how powerful is it? So God's supernatural supply for natural health and spiritual health is the river in your life. Today, we talk about the source. What influences your river? And where do you go for your source? Well, pastor, I know exactly where I go to the Bible. I pray. I do all those things. But that's all about inflow in your life. Today, we're going to talk a little bit deeper than that in the water. Pastor, I do all these things to my sources. But the supernatural supply is not just an inflow supply. We'll talk about that. And you think about a river, you just think, what is that exactly is that natural river? And I have all these perceptions. You know, I have this perception of this very docile body of water that just flows. I was on the Mississippi River a couple weeks ago with the Coles Company, you know, setting us on one of those paddle boats. Really, it was really serene.
But then I've seen pictures and been around rapids, so powerful, right? Where the river just moves and it's dangerous, it's destructive, it's this, it's that. Throughout the world, rivers have carved channels, the Grand Canyon. Over all those years, it's carved. And look what the damage, it's not damaged as far as the Grand Canyon, but and you've seen rivers that have just overflowed, and we've seen that in Canal Fulton just a few weeks ago. Powerful, right? The water in the Bible symbolizes natural health and spiritual well-being. The river, though, is different. It symbolizes the flow of natural health and spiritual health and well-being. See, there could be water that does really not a whole lot. But then there's this river that moves. See, when you think of a river, you're not thinking of a body of water. You're thinking of a body of water that flows or moves, right? It's exactly what the Bible talks about. It doesn't. The word doesn't talk about a river being stagnant and stopped. It's about movement. We're really going to get into that today. There's a river that moves. It flows. That's why you hear rivers flow. There's a flowing to the river. There's lakes that don't do a whole lot, but there's rivers that flow into them and rivers that flow out. There's lakes that are dead that got nothing, right? The Dead Sea. But we know the Bible talks about a river that flowed in there that gave it life. The purpose of the river is to bring natural and spiritual life. So let's review a few of the rivers we talked about last week. We talked about in Genesis 2, the first river. God established the Garden of Eden, and he put a river there that flowed to water the land, the Bible talks about. To water the land, right? To provide all this nutrients. To provide all the stuff that the plants needed, especially some trees. But then the Bible talks about the river leaving the garden and breaking apart into four headwaters. Now, there's some big significance there that I'm going to jump into here in a little bit, but just keep thinking about that. The water just provided life. It's separated into four headwaters, but the thing, I'll just say it now. Listen, it's really unique because this is something that you probably never heard. Here's this river feeding the Garden of Eden and going outside the garden, and I alluded to this last week, but it breaks into four headwaters, rivers. That's the opposite of what it normally does. Normally, you've got all these tributaries or smaller rivers coming into one big river, right? The Ohio River is made by the Allegheny River, the Monongahela River. That's a mouthful there. In Pittsburgh. And then it flows all the way down to the Mississippi River, which flows and goes and empties. That's the natural flow. But in the Bible, the flow that God provided was the big river going out to a bunch of little rivers and feeding the land. It's the exact opposite of the natural. Why is that? God is sending his power, his nutrients, his life outside of the Garden of Eden out into the land. What's the purpose of the river? To bring life. There's the second river in Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. It's the river that Ezekiel talks about in his vision that overflows in the temple and busts out. That's what happens. It just pushes out and it just flows. He gives this description of how the situation occurs, and it kind of, you see that coming out of the temple, and it builds up and it builds up and it busts out. And as you leave and get farther away from the temple, it gets deeper and deeper. Every 1,000 cubits, it's a little deeper, the Bible says. Another 1,000 cubits, which is 18 inches, it's deeper. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper until it gets so bad you can't even swim in it. It's so deep. It's flowing. It's moving. The third river we talked about last week was in Revelation 22. An angel comes and shows John this river at the end of all time. Garden of Eden is basically being reestablished on the face of the earth. I did want to get into all that. It's kind of is That's what's going on. And there's a river right down the middle. It's just at the end. Everything is being reestablished on earth in Revelation. Wow, it's right at the end of Revelation. It's such a powerful book. I love Revelation. I've studied it and studied it and studied it, and I still don't know it all, right? You're never going to know it all. But there's a river. And on one side is the tree of life. On the other side is the tree of life, and it just continually gives crops and life and, you know, sustainment, and it's just constant, and it flows right from the throne to the living God, the Bible says. Right out of God's throne is water. Natural water, but what river are they really talking about in all three rivers? They're talking about natural water, but they're also really talking the spiritual power of the living God that flows, especially in Revelation. God's power is saturated on the throne and all throughout creation. It is the power of the living God. What's the purpose? To bring life. Natural life, spiritual life. But today, we're going to talk about what is the source of your river. Pastor, it's God. It's by prayer time. It's this. It's that. You have this list of things you say that's the source of my river. The power of God moving through you, flowing through you. I am tapped into the power of God, and this is how I do it. There's something there that I want to talk to you about today that we're going to get into. If the purpose of the river is to bring life, what is the source of your inflow, and what is the result of your outflow? Now stop and think about that. What is the source of the inflow? See, rivers move. They flow. And there's an influx coming into your life, however. Bible, pastors preaching, however, prayer time. But for the river in your life to flow, there's got to be an outflow. Because if the river doesn't flow out of you like it's flowing into you, it becomes a stagnant river. Right? It's got to flow. I mean, in the natural, God created the earth, and there's bodies of water that flow. And there's bodies of water that don't flow, and they're dead. It's the same for us, church. It's the same for us because we have inflow, but sometimes the outflow is struggling. What is the outflow? We're going to talk about that here shortly. But there's outflow. There's got to be outflow. I watched outflow today at Starbucks. This young lady had outflow. She had inflow. She's reading the word. And then I witnessed in the natural the outflow from her life to the life of another. The witness was the outflow. And a lot of times we struggle with our spiritual lives and the rivers in our lives because the outflow doesn't match the inflow. Think about that. The outflow is not matching the inflow. So the inflow backs up a little bit here because the outflow is not coming out. That's what happens. You're going to see that. The Bible says that. So what is the process that we use to tap into the inflow? And then what is the process we use to make sure there's an outflow? See, that's a process. That's a method. The Bible's full of processes. I've taught you that. And God puts this process in place and says, here's your inflow. What's the outflow?
Right through you.
The Bible says, water that springs up like a well, in John 14, 14. Water's moving. Springs up like a well. The Bible says in Joel 2, 23, water that pours or comes down like rain. So it's coming up, it's coming down. You're stuck in the middle, the Bible says. Water that pours out like a flood in Isaiah. Powerful. Water that flows like the river in John, and that's where I'm going to jump into in John 7, 37 and 38. So if you got your Bibles, let's go to John 37 and 38. I know it won't be, well, I stand corrected. See, the pastor's never right. John 7, 37 through 38. Thank you, Tim. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stands up and says in this loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me for a drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." He is specifically talking about a spiritual thirst that he will feed for inflow and then outflow. Rivers of living water, outflow. Jesus sets up the stage of the river in his life because he had a river experience too, which we'll talk about here in a second. And so he speaks it here in John. He says, the river is going to flow. Whoever believes in me, that river will flow. Now, if you sit here today and you believe and the river's not flowing through your life, it's getting stagnant, there's the answer to why you're struggling with some things possibly. Because you've got to let the river flow. See, for me personally, I just cannot just do nothing on the outflow. I have got to do something. Ministry, pastoral ministry, whatever we do, whatever you're called to do, there's got to be an outflow. There's got to be a spiritual release for rivers of living water, Jesus says. And when a person accepts Christ as Savior, they have the Holy Spirit that comes into them, but there's not necessarily an outflow yet. I love new Christians because they start working on the outflow. And it's all over the place, right? It's all unwieldy sometimes. I love it. They just want outflow because that inflow is so powerful and so new and so fresh. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking. Could have been you. It's just all over the place, that outflow. Then a day goes by and a week goes by and a month goes by, and a year goes by, or 2 years, 3 years, and then is the outflow the same? Well, the inflow's got to beef up a little bit because the outflow's been powerful, and, you know, that's exactly how the spiritual walk works. And that stagnant river happens when the inflow is there, but there's no outflow. So let's look at the second river. Let's concentrate on the second river in Ezekiel 47, 3 through 5. Ezekiel's vision of water coming out of the temple. Let's concentrate there and let's see what God shows us here that many of us may have never seen before. It says, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, 18 inches a cubit, okay? And then he led me through this water ankle deep, Ezekiel says. So here he is ankle deep. Like, listen, we can slosh around in ankle deep water. That's no big deal, right? We can do that. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through the water. Now it's a knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through the water. Now it's up to my waist. You've been in the ocean. You've gone into the lake. You've gone into the river. You know what happens. The farther you go in, the deeper it gets and the harder it is to move around, right? He measured off 1,000, but now it's a river that I could not cross. Now the inflow's getting serious. Now the flow is powerful because the water had risen and it was so deep, I couldn't swim in it. A river that I could no longer cross. I don't know about you, church, but I want the inflow to be so powerful that I get lost in it. I don't want to live in ankle-deep water. I don't want to be there. I want the river in my life, the inflow, to be so powerful that I just can't even get through it, that I'm lost in it. Here's Ezekiel giving you this vision. And now let's see what happens here. He describes this process of getting deeper. What's the source of the water? The source of the water is the temple, right? That's the source. The source is heaven. What's the course of the water? I just read, what's the course of the water? Where does it say there's a course? There's a course there. There's a course. Pastor, I don't see the course. I don't see where there's a direction. It's because you're not looking. The course is outward, is the course. The course is out from the temple. It doesn't say it's going down this side. It doesn't say, it's just saying it's getting deeper. The course is coming from the temple and going out. Now that is a revelation, I think. Because God has given us this word. He's pushing it out. And it gets deeper and deeper when it goes. It's going out. It's not going back in. It's flowing out. Stand with me here. Is there force there? Is there force? Of course there's force. What's the force? Deeper and deeper. The farther I get away from the temple, it's deeper and deeper. And the force gets stronger and stronger. What do we have here? Ezekiel's given you three things that we probably never saw. He's given you source, he's given you course, he's given you force. You want to see flow of the river in your life? That's what you need. You need the source, you need the course, outward, anywhere outward, get it out. And then you need force. See, you can have source, you can have an outward course, but if you've got no force, you're in ankle deep water, and anybody can walk through that. That's what we need, see, church. That's what Ezekiel is telling. He's telling us that's what you need. It's hidden. Right there, it's hidden. It just kind of hit me in the face when I was doing my studies. Wow, there it is. God, I've been praying, God, give me source. Give me the course. Give me force. See, I you know me by now. I want the force. See, I could tie into the source. I got that down. I do. You may have it down. I could tie into the source, right? And I'm good with the course. I don't care where it goes, as long as it's outward. I don't care if it's out Starbucks. I don't care if it's downtown. I don't care if it's down south. I don't care where the course of outward is. I'm going to run the course. But give me the force. Because I could have the source and I could have the course. But if there's no force behind me, I don't have much. If I can't put some force behind the water, it's not going to really make anybody wet. It's not going to saturate anybody, which we'll talk about in week 4. This experience is not you having the river of the Holy Ghost, but rather the Holy Ghost having you. See, Ezekiel tells us that you can go waist deep and farther, and that's where it starts to overtake. See, what we're not seeing is that it's not that we're not taking the Holy Ghost river. It's the Holy Ghost getting us. And that's why he talks about cubits of thousands, thousands, and thousands, and thousands. See, the process is the power of the force is starting to overtake us. And that's critical for us. See, it's not us adopting the power of God in the river in our life. It's us moving through and getting deeper and deeper and deeper and getting lost in it. Jesus had a river experience, church.
What?
Yeah, he did. Mark 1:10. Jesus had a river experience. The Bible says in Mark 1:10, it says, just as Jesus was coming out from the water being baptized in the Jordan, right? He saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. So he has a natural river experience and he has a supernatural spiritual experience. This is the Son of God going through his river experience. Pastor, he didn't need a river experience. He didn't need that. He had the Spirit of God already on him. He was a natural man, and God descended and said, this is my Son. He indoctrinated him with a purpose, he indoctrinated him with a process, pardon me. And Jesus then fulfilled the process. His purpose, really. He had a Holy River experience. You know, for us, it's surrendering to the control of God's supernatural supply that changes our outflow. That's for us. What would have happened if Jesus wouldn't have never left the river? Stayed right there. Had this natural river experience and supernatural touch from heaven and a dove. And I'm not leaving the water. I'm going to hang out and stay in my inflow. And live in my inflow and never have an outflow. We wouldn't be here today, church. Jesus had an outflow. He didn't care the direction, but he certainly cared about the force. He had a source, he had a course anywhere, and he had force. Oh, I want that. So the river source, how do we tap into it? How do we get that? How do I tap into that? I've got my method. I've got my pastor. How do I get in it? How do I get waist deep that I can't swim? Let's go back to Ezekiel's river and talk about it. Ezekiel 47:1. I have 1A here because I'm just going to read real briefly. It says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, the door. And I saw water coming out from underneath the threshold, underneath the door of the temple, the entranceway. Water's coming out. What's on the inside of the temple, folks? God's altar. Right? God's altar's on the inside. Right? However, 1 Corinthians 3:16, we talked about this last week, says, don't you know that now you are the temple? You're the temple now. And God's Spirit dwells in you. What's your outflow? You see that, how it's all set up? It's unbelievable. He's telling you in Ezekiel's vision of the temple, now you and I are the temple. If you have accepted Christ as Savior, you and I are the temple. Now he's saying, what is your outflow? Is your outflow ankle deep? Is it knee deep? Is it waist deep? Or is it so deep, your outflow is so deep that people just are lost in it? Because that's what happened to Ezekiel. So what's really supposed to happen here, Pastor? What is really supposed to happen? John 7:38, we read that. It says, whoever believes, as the scripture has said, out of the heart will flow rivers of living water. That's the outflow. It doesn't say in the Bible that you will hoard it just for you. It says for your spiritual maturity, for your life, you have to have outflow. If you sit here today struggling with things, I am telling you, ask yourself, what is my outflow? Because every time we struggle with something in life, it affects our source. It affects our course. It affects our force. Yes, it does. And we hunker down and we kind of stop doing what God wants us to do. If you want to change in the situation, you got to tap into more source, get more course of outward going, and you've got to have more force. You want to change your life today, church. You leave here today remembering those three words. I need more source, I need more course, and I need a lot of force in my river. See, when things are going bad, I try to tell people that you need to stand up and get deeper and deeper and deeper into the power of God and go out and get more force. You got to go out and make more of a difference. You've got to, don't stop. and hunker down and say, I can't do any more ministry, Pastor. I can't do it anymore. I can't go for it anymore. I've got all this. I'm telling you right now, you need to do more of it. That's what Ezekiel's trying to explain to you. It gets deeper and deeper the farther you go out from the source. Question is, how do you get rivers of living water to flow out of you? Okay, here we go. How do you get that? The Bible says that the temple altar, the church altar, the altar of your heart, you got to get to. Why? Inside the temple is the altar. Inside the building is the altar of God. Inside your personal temple is the altar of your heart. Now, you've got to revisit the altar. That's why your pastor says so many times, come to the altar, because it's a supernatural supply. It's not a physical thing, just that. It's a supernatural location. And pastors always say, come to the altar. Why? Because we know the source. We know the course. And when you turn, we know the force. That's what the Bible says. And you may think, I just don't feel like going up there today. And I'm telling you, that's exactly where you need to be. That's exactly where we need to be, because that's where the source is. Getting that. The Greek, the place of sacrifice, the Bible says. It's a place of sacrifice. Christ, of course, you know, the sacrificial lamb. In the Hebrew, it means slaughter. See, we don't like to go to the altar because we know as good Bible-believing Christians that when we go to the altar, we're going to sacrifice and get slaughtered. What's going to get sacrificed and what's going to get slaughtered? You and I. To open up the channel for better inflow and maximum force outflow. Pastor Brad's got to get out of the way for God to move and flow. Think about it. Got to get out of the way. Luke 22:42 says this. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. This is Jesus. So, you know, God understands the struggle because Jesus struggled. But he says this powerful statement of supernatural supply. And the statement is, but not my will, Father, yours. You've got to come down to the altar and you've got to say, not my will, yours. Therefore, your source is heaven. Your course changes, but let me tell you something. As soon as you say that, your force changes. That's what happens. Father, take the cup, but it's not my will. It's got to be yours. It's got to be yours. What happens there? There's a consecration that goes on, which means a setting apart. There's a commitment. You come down to the altar. You've got to come down to the altar for the source, and you're making a commitment. Let me tell you something, church. The commitment's the easiest part, because the second part of that is dedication. Commitment is, I'll do it, God. Dedication is, I'll follow through, God. And there's this chasm there in our lives. I commit to do this. I tie into the source. I've got course to go outward and do the. I'm going to take force. But you got to dedicate yourself to do that. The Bible says, right? There's got to be a dedication, a willingness to stay with it if you want to change and you don't want your river in your life to dry up. Think about it. It's right there in the Word. It's a little deeper. Going to the altar is your commitment from an outer profane place to an inner sacred place. Your commitment to go to the altar is leaving this outer profane place, the situation you're embroiled in that you need delivered from. I need help here, Pastor. I need help here. It's this deliverance. This is change from going this outward profane place. This the situation you're in. Involved with to this inner sacred place where the water starts to flow. So it says in the Word. So that's your first place. That's your first stopping point to get this new source to help you. It's not that hard. It's a commitment to get out of your seat and come up and say, God, what is it? You walk up here with ankle-deep water in the river, you turn from here, and you've got knee-deep water. You walk and it gets deeper and deeper because the power of God just starts to swell up inside you. What's the second source? What's the second place we go besides the altar? There's another place. The throne of God is the second place. It's all in the Word. There's the altar inside the temple, which is now the altar in your heart to make this commitment and this dedication for that change, for inflow, outflow. It's inside of you now, right? Flows out of you personally. Where's it come from? It comes from the throne of the living God. What does the throne of God represent in the Bible? Mighty presence. It's the mighty presence of God. In 1 Kings 22:19, it says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on the throne with all the multitudes of heaven standing around him and on his right and on his left. Let me tell you something, church. That's a powerful representation of heaven, the throne. The multitudes everywhere. And right in the middle is the Lord thy God. In all his power and all his majesty sitting on the throne. What's the purpose of the throne? I'm going to give you one purpose, and this is the purpose that kind of shakes me up a little bit, but here it is. Psalms 9:7 says, the Lord reigns forever. He has established his throne for judgment. Church, I want a lot of rivers of living water flowing through me. A lot. I want my inflow to be just packed full, and I want my outflow to have that great source, a course, and force. Because I don't want to stand before God Almighty and say, I didn't do it. When he gave me this awesome power to do it, to let rivers of living water flow right through me in the spiritual sense. What's present at the throne? Revelation 22:1 says, then the angel showed me this river of living water of life. It's clear as crystal, flows from the throne of God and the Lamb. This is the vision of the new heavens and new earth. This is what it looks like at the end. This is what he reestablishes. This is the goal of source, a course of outward with a lot of force. Pastor, how do I get that in my life? How do I get that throne? How do I get that river source in my life? Revelation 3:21 tells you. Here it is. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on the throne. As I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. We got to be overcomers. See, you get to the altar and everything in the pits of hell will scream, don't go to the altar and don't approach the throne of the living God. Why? That's the source. So when a pastor calls people forward, you know, everything inside of you sometimes screams, I don't want to go because I don't want people to look at me. I don't want to, I just can't make that. I don't know. Whatever the excuse is. Because what happens is as soon as you take that one step and you get closer to the altar of a church, things start to change. The source starts to get more powerful. The course starts to become more defined and the force starts to rattle you. So it says in the Word. Change starts to take place in my life. Rivers of living water start to well up. They get so waist high, I can't even swim through them. Can't get through. That's why pastors call it. And you got to conquer and move forward. That's the key. That's the key. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on the throne as I also conquered. What an invitation, church, for you and I. Oh, that's an invitation. I'm going to give you that invitation in a couple of minutes. as our music team comes forward. I'm going to give you an invitation, tie into the source, to set a new course or an outward course with a lot of force. What does that take, Pastor? That takes a commitment on your end to say, I will do it. See, you're committing to something that you may not know what it is yet. Now you're walking by faith. Now you're walking by faith. And if you don't get anything out of this message at all today, I want you to take this home with you. Your outflow determines your inflow. Okay? Your outflow determines your inflow. Pastor, your inflow determines your outflow. You got to refeed. You got to fill up again when you have a lot of outflow. When you're given out to your church, to your family, in the spiritual dimension, when you're witnessing, when you're doing all these things that gives outflow of rivers of living water from your life, you have to get refilled. That's why they send pastors to all these seminars and all these conferences, because they understand, the Assemblies of God and other denominational movements understand, we need filled too. Because the pulpit is holy and we give out a lot of outflow under the anointing and we need refilled. And I so love the board here that says, you go as often as you have to go to a conference. You go as often as you have to go to a service. You go as often, because we know, they know the value of the inflow and the outflow. And this pastor for you understands the value of the inflow and the outflow. I'm not sure everybody understands the value of the inflow and the outflow. Because a lot of times what we do is when we're having these situations in our lives, we head to the source. That's wonderful. Because you got to start with the source. There's a new course maybe of outward somewhere that God lays on your heart. And there's some force. But if you don't walk in that with commitment and dedication, you have no outflow. Therefore, the inflow doesn't show up as much because you're not getting out the outflow. Do you understand? It flows through you, the Bible says. So if you really want to change, you got to have outflow. Whether it's painting a church, or it's ministry, or it's media, or it's sound, or it's anything, outflow. And then there's the big outflow of the witness the Bible talks about. Seek and save the lost. The big one. That's the big one. I've preached on that before. But I want you to walk out of here today, folks, understanding that there's inflow. You probably have that down. But what I think we struggle with is the outflow. Because that outflow could be in any course at all as long as it's outward. That's why it's called outflow. That's why it's a river. That's why it's a river of living water. It flows. And where's it flow from? Your altar and your temple, which is you and I. That's how God set it up. You see that? Right? I'm going to give you this awesome opportunity to bask in the river. I'm going to give you an opportunity here in a second to tie into the altar, the throne of God, and just say, God, what's the outflow? Where do I got to go? Watch what he does. Stand with me, church. As they begin to sing, no matter what, you come to the altar. If God lay it on your heart, you tap into the source. He'll set a course, and you'll leave here with force. Let's sing.